A couple of announcements before we begin our lesson tonight. First of all, I want you to welcome Edie and Susan Chaney, who let it be known this morning as they met with our elders, two of our elders, that they wanted to be a part of this family here at River Chase. I want you to get to know them if you haven't already. They are the mother and sister of Francie Savage, and many of you know them already. We're delighted to have them with us and want you to get to know them as well. Secondly, you might want to take something to make a note with. This is with regard to the International English Bible that many of us have. It has been brought to my attention that at least one of the Bibles that we sold has some mistakes in it. So we're going to call and see about getting those corrected, and you might want to check yours if you have one. And the mistakes that have been found are, first of all, in the book of Psalms, pages 1152 through 1169. 1152 through 1169 are missing. And then again, still in the book of Psalms, pages 1200 to 1217 were missing in this particular Bible. And you may want to check yours to see if those pages are there or if they're missing. And then the second one, or the third one to look at, is that page 1232 and 1217 were reversed. So you get to 1232, and then later on you'd come to 1217. And you might want to check to see if those are there. And if you have any problems with them, then let me know and turn those in to me. But you might want to check yours to make sure that those particular pages are not. Anybody need them repeated? What? Fast, efficient note keepers. How many are going to see me after services? I'll tell you what, it's up here. Don't steal it. I need to have it to call it. I'm sorry, don't borrow it and forget to bring it back. If you will, let's leave that up here. If you need to copy the page numbers, they are on this page. I couldn't believe it, and I'm sure you wouldn't either. Somebody came up to me and said, "The King, are you talking about Elvis tonight?" I started to get up and start with, "Thank you. Thank you very much." But I didn't do that. And no, well, we may be talking about Elvis. We may be talking about all of us. But this is a passage that comes from Deuteronomy chapter 17. And I'd like you to open your Bibles, and we're going to follow through instruction that is very informative and very helpful for us. Every passage we look at in the Bible helps us to understand what living a life of faith is like. And every passage that we turn to in the Bible, Old or New Testament, helps us with learning how to be people of faith and the things that are expected of us, and help us also in understanding some things about God. This is an unusual passage. It starts off in Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 14. It's an unusual passage, but it's an important passage. Let's have a king. God had told the children of Israel, "I will be your king, and he will be the one that rules over them." Later on, when they do what this passage suggests in the life of Samuel, Samuel will be told by God, "They have not rejected you, they have rejected me from being their king." And that's when they appoint Saul as king over Israel. But look at what we learn in Deuteronomy chapter 17, starting with verse 14. God will say to the children of Israel, "When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, and you possess it and live in it, and then you say," look at this, "the land God gives to you, the land God allows you to possess, and the land God allows you to live in, but they don't feel like they can compete with the nations around them without something other than God and without something besides God. Trusting in God is just not enough. Although God again and again and again will show that it is more than enough. But looking at the world in which they live and the nature of the world around them, they just do not think that trusting in God is enough. It's always a problem with us. God says, when you come into that land and you say, I will set a king over me like all the nations who are around me. It's not what God wants, but he knows it's going to happen. It's not what God wants, but he knows it's going to occur. And so when it occurs, he gives guidelines that the children of Israel are to be guided by and to follow. And if they follow them, even though they are doing what God does not want, if they follow his guidelines, it will go well. But they very quickly stop following his guidelines. They don't pay attention. And when that occurs, then they have problems. Deuteronomy chapter 17 reads like the United States of America in the year 2015. Actually, it started before 2015. And that's one of the reasons why this passage of Scripture is so important. But there are also other things that God does not want to happen, but he knows that are going to happen. And so he regulates. He intended for one man, one woman for life. But in the book of Deuteronomy, because of the hardness of the heart of people, he gives guidelines for the certificate of divorce. It's not what he wanted, not what he intended. But because of the hardness of men's hearts, he gives direction. And he's doing that here in connection with the king, which is a failure in trusting in God and not what God would have had the children of Israel. It is amazing to me. I've mentioned this before, and somebody, I think it may have been David and I, were talking in the office one day this week about the things that would have happened. And what all could have happened if the children of Israel had had absolute trust in God. It is my opinion, and that's all that it is, just simply my opinion, that they never complained about food until they noticed they weren't eating. I don't think they were starving. I think they just happened to notice, hey, we don't have anything to eat. And then the complaining started. I really believe if they had had complete trust in God, like Jesus did in his temptation, they would have gone to Mount Sinai and they would have gone to the Promised Land and crossed the Jordan River and taken that land and eaten the fruit of the land they had taken. And God would have seen to it that just like their clothing, their bodies would not get older, would not die of starvation. Just as their clothing did not wear out, just as their clothing looked as good the day they entered the Promised Land as it had 40 years earlier when they left the land of Egypt, that God would have provided. But they didn't trust God to that extent. And when they get into the land, they're not going to. And they are going to ask for a king. And God says, I know that that's going to happen, and when it does, here's what you are to do. Verse 15. You shall set a king over you that God chooses. Now, how do we know who God chooses? He's about to tell us. So whenever we choose political leaders, we need to keep some things in mind. We need to keep some things in mind with regard to the individuals that we are choosing. Their relationship to moral things. Their relationship to the will of God. their relationship to God himself. We need to keep some things in mind. Our nation is in trouble because we're moving away from being a nation under God. And the reason we are no longer a nation under God is because we have chosen, for the most part, in this nation not to be under God. And because we have chosen, for the most part, not to be under God, it does not bother us one bit to elect officials who are not under God. As a matter of fact, many in our nation would prefer it that way, that we not elect leaders who are under God. And so the first thing that God says to the children of Israel, make sure it is a king that I choose. Because at the end of this chapter, what he's going to say is, if you do this, you will be blessed. And the opposite is true from the very beginning. If you don't do this, then you will not be blessed. And not being blessed means that you will have problems. So one that God would choose would first of all be an Israelite, not a foreigner, not an individual who serves another god, not an individual who worships an idol, but an individual who is an Israelite. They have a foreigner for a king at times, and when Jesus comes, they have a foreigner for a king. A man who was forced to become a Jew, but who did not really buy into it. And they had a lot of other situations of that same kind. So he's first of all to be an Israelite, not a foreigner. We run into problems in our country if individuals become leaders of our country and have no regard for our country's laws, our country's constitution. They do not believe in it. They do not trust in it. They even want to run in opposition to it. And so the idea of having a foreigner and one that is not an Israelite would create problems for them, just like electing someone who is not an American and does not believe in the American system of law and the American Constitution would create problems for us. They must not trust in what others trust in. They must be individuals who trust in God. And if you look at the nations that are around you, what would they trust in? Today, it would be military strength. Same thing for them in that day. But in their day and time, military strength meant horses, an abundance of them, because the wars were won by the cavalry, those who had the horses and rode the horses and had the chariots. And the trust for the king was to be an individual who would not put his trust in military strength, but he would put his trust in God. And for that reason, he would intentionally not multiply horses. He would not try to be a nation trusting in the things other nations trust in, but he would trust in God. Guess how long that lasted? Third king, until Solomon. And Solomon is the last of the United Kings. And the kingdoms divide and continue to go downhill. Because while he seemed to be at the start a man who trusted God, it wasn't that way very long. And he began to multiply the horses. He must not have divided loyalties. That means his devotion must be to God first and foremost. Nothing equal with God. But his loyalties must not be divided. And God gives two illustrations of how loyalties are divided. First of all, many wives. Again, we look at Solomon. And the reason why God said not many wives is because they will pull you away from me. But it doesn't take many wives to do that. Ahab had one. Her name was Jezebel. And she pulled him completely away. But it can happen either side. It can happen either way. A wife can be pulled away from God because of the husband she's married, just as a husband can be pulled away from God because of the wife he has married. And God is getting back to saying, it must be one I choose. And one I choose is one that belongs to me, one that does not have divided loyalties, and one that puts his trust in God. Another thing that would cause divided loyalties is money, where the king would be more interested in obtaining wealth for the nation in order to make the nation strong, in order to allow the nation to become strong enough to defend itself and to compete in the world that it's in. Now, how many times do we hear, no, I don't come to church anymore because I'm just too busy. Too busy doing what? Too busy with my job. Too busy making an income, because you can't survive without it. So there's divided loyalties. It's not putting trust in God. It's putting trust in what I need to do for myself. It's having divided loyalties. And God warns the children of Israel about having a king that would do that. But they had kings that did exactly that. And it caused them to have all kinds of problems. And then there's this one. One that God chooses would be a person of the book. He would be a person of the Word of God. And God is quite extensive in the rest of this chapter about what that means. What it means to be a person of the book. First of all, the king is instructed by God to have his own personal copy. This is not something that he goes to others in order for them to read what they deem important for him to hear. He has his own personal copy of the book. And this personal copy is to be accurate and complete. He is to receive this personal copy from the priest, where the original copy is. And his copy is to come as close as it possibly can to the original copy, so that he will be making sure that he is reading exactly what God said and exactly what God had Moses and the other prophets to write down. So this man must have his personal copy of the Bible, the Word of God. It must be accurate and complete, meaning it comes from the priest. It's not a selection of scriptures other people deem important. It's the whole thing. It is everything that is said by God, and that's to be what he is reading. And he is to read it all the days of his life. This personal copy is not just to be in the palace. This personal copy is not just to sit somewhere where he will see it from time to time. This personal copy is to be opened by him and read by him all the days of his life. Because you don't get to be where God wants you to be if you're not reading it. And you cannot get to where God wants you to be if you're not reading it. And so this person whom God chooses as the king is to read this book all the days of his life. So he will revere God. Not his idea of God, nor someone else's idea of God. But he's to read this book every day of his life so he will come to know God. And in coming to know God, he will learn to revere him, make him his highest loyalty. Make service to him and devotion to him the most important thing that he will do. But he's to read this book every day of his life for another reason, and that's so he will follow God's will. So he will know what God wants. So he will know what God has instructed. And so he will be doing the things that God would have him to do. There are a lot of moments of tension in life. There are a lot of moments of tension in decision making for the individual who's the ruler of a nation of people. And God wants this man's decisions to be based on God's will. What does God want? And he gains the foundation and the underlying principles that he will need in order to make these decisions by coming to know God's will as he reads his word. And so God wants him in his book and reading his word every day of his life. And also so that he will not think himself better than the people who have appointed him to be king. Because when he reads the word of God, he understands that we are all God's creation. We are all God's people. And the king would not be king if God had not allowed it. And he is there to serve the people who have chosen him. But more importantly, he's there to serve God. It's interesting. I've heard it described this way, and I use it a lot in Revelation class. That there is a beast that is known as the old serpent, the devil, who comes up out of the sea. And then there are two other beasts that come up after him. And those two other beasts that come up after him is government. When it turns its back on God and does the bidding of Satan. And when government turns its back on God and does the bidding of Satan, it becomes the beast. It is no longer a servant. It becomes the beast. And so to keep this nation from being ruled by the beast, God puts a book in his hands and says, you read it every day and you learn not to think of yourself better than other people. That you are not ruling this nation for your power and your benefit. You are ruling this nation according to God's will. And the individual is to hold this book so he will learn not to turn to the left nor to the right. We call it conservative or liberal. You do not move away from what God has said, either towards your feelings nor towards your own thoughts. You stay with what God has said. And you do not move from it, this way or that way. To the right or to the left. And the king who does this will be blessed. And the nation who chooses to be governed by a king like this will be blessed. Because God will bless it. And God will bless this ruler. And God will bless this nation. Now, while these things are still up here, I want you to think with me for a minute. Who is the king? How does Jesus fit in with this? Perfectly. He is the king of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. Every king will bow before him. Every lord, every person, every human being will bow before him because God has said they will. Because he is the king of all kings, and the reason he is because he was exactly as God would have him to be. He was exactly the king chosen by God who did every single one of these things. And every single one of these things would describe his life and describe everything that there is about him. And that being the case, and we are to imitate Christ and we are to follow after him, how about each of us? Are you the king? Well, let's just go down the line and let's think for a minute. Are you a politician? Do you make decisions about the lives of other people? We've had judge, we've had politicians, we've had lawyers. When I make decisions for the lives of other people, does this fit me? Does this fit my life? Do you give counseling? Do you give advice? Do you tell others what they ought to do in the decision that they're having to make in their life? How does this fit you? When it comes to the advice and help that you give to other people with regard to the decisions that they are making, are you an employer? Are you a boss? How does this fit you in your dealings with the people that are under you? Are you a parent? If you're in the process of thinking about a husband, why would you choose a man to be the father of your children who was not this? Why would you choose a man to be the father of your children who just on this page, not counting the other, doesn't care about the Bible and reading it and learning these things? If you're a man and about to choose a wife, why would you choose a woman to be the mother of your children if she wasn't like this? If she cared nothing about the Bible and the Word of God and subjecting herself to it. But bottom line, what about each of us individually? We are the ones in control of this spirit that God has given to us. We are the ones in control of this life. And God makes that clear from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, or not the Garden of Eden, but after the Garden of Eden, when he talks to Cain and he says, sin wants to capture you. Sin wants to destroy you. And you must master it. You must become the king over it. You must rule it. You must rule your own life. You must be the king of your own life. Do I do it this way? Do I live my life with Bible in hand? Do I lead my life with the Bible on my mind so that I revere God and I do His will and I don't think myself better than others? And I will not turn away from him either to the right or to the left. But I follow him. Because you see, bottom line, this is who God chooses. This is the person of faith. This is the person who puts trust in God. This is the person who lives life the way God intended for it to be lived. So let us have a king. And let it be God's. And let it be the one that God has chosen in every aspect of the life that I live. You need to come to Christ? Do you need to put on Christ in baptism?